The best thing you can have along an offensive line is options, and Auburn's got them. It's time for another Barn takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Happy Thursday. You know what time it is. It's Thursday. It's time for a Barn takeover, where we take questions from the members of the barnauburn.com. We shout them out, and then we break them down on our Thursday show every single week. It's my favorite part of the week, and you can join in this action too. You can take $25 off of your annual membership for 2025. Go to thebarnauburn.com and you can sign up today and then get ready for next week's Barn Takeover. So I put the mailbag up on Wednesdays and then they fill it up with questions, and I pick some of the best ones and we dive into it, have some fun. Typically, I get to all of them. So we're going to have some fun today. We talk a little bit of everything, football, basketball, recruiting, a little bit of everything. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in. Reconciled. Thoughts on the offensive line now that Too Tall is returning. Now, who is Too Tall? If you weren't sure, Xavien Miller, Auburn's starting right tackle for the last two seasons, you know, the JUCO edition, I think in Hugh's first year, he flipped him from, I think, Ole Miss maybe. He got the JUCO ruling, the Diego Pavia ruling, where they basically granted a waiver for 1 year for all folks that had JUCO eligibility that they could roll into NCAA eligibility. So essentially, if you were in JUCO, that did not count against your eligibility. They were going to give a waiver for one, and I think they're going to appeal. And what they're going to try to do is push for just a blanket 5 years of eligibility. So in other words, you know, you don't have red shirt. Typically right now, it's you got 5 years to play four. I think what their compromise is going to be, let's just do 5 years and get rid of all this. You know, if you're JUCO, it doesn't count against you, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Now that I caught you up, Xavien Miller is going to take advantage of that 1 year. And he announced he's coming back to Auburn. And I think that is just as big as any portal addition that Auburn's added. This could be one of the deepest offensive lines that Auburn's had in quite a while. And options are anytime you can have multiple options at positions, or combinations or whatever, anytime you can have options, you're in a good spot, because you don't have to rely on just five guys. And if one of those goes down, oh my God, what do we do? Right. You brought in Xavier Chaplin. You brought in Mason Murphy. Both of those guys played tackle at their previous school. Well, Xavien Miller also played tackle. Okay, so now you got three guys that started and played at a pretty high level. I thought Too Tall was one of our better offensive linemen, really, honestly, the past 2 years, just consistent at right tackle. So I think if Too Tall can play right tackle, still play right tackle, I'm not sure that he can really slide in and be a guard. If he can play right tackle, then Mason Murphy can now jump in the mix at guard and push Jeremiah Wright, can push Dylan Wade. I mean, this guy's he's a big boy. You're talking, you know, 6'5", you know, 330, 320, 330, and athletic enough to play right tackle. He's more than athletic enough to play guard as well. Maybe, honestly, more suited to play guard at the next level. You're just breeding competition with something like this. Again, you couldn't – just imagine you could go find in the portal a starting right tackle from the SEC that played, again, at a pretty high level. What would that be worth to you in the portal? Because that's what essentially – bringing back Too Tall does. It's massive. I really like everything about this offensive line for 2025. And I haven't said that, haven't felt that way in quite a while. I think we sort of bought into the fool's gold of Percy Lewis, but in reality, that we didn't have any other options. That was it. Now I feel like you got multiple guys that can play, multiple guys that can play that tackle position and just really this spring gives you the opportunity to really compete hard and work on gelling as a unit and really figuring out that right combination. So I'm ecstatic that Tutal's coming back. I'm ecstatic about the potential of this offensive line. I think it's going to be really, really big for Auburn. So goes from a position of weakness to potentially a position of strength if Xavier Chaplin is who we think he is. He's got 2 years to play, by the way. I didn't realize that. I don't know that he will play 2 years. It's probably going to be a one and done, put some film on for the NFL, but he's got 2 years. So always keep that in the back of your mind. So Auburn's in a good spot at offensive line. Very, very good spot going into 2025. Let's go to the next one. AU Conda. What's the chance we finish with a better finish in recruiting than we did in 2025, assuming an 8-win record or better? That's a really good qualifier, I guess, because obviously if you tank, it's hard to say where you're going to be if you tank, because it'd be really hard to know what the attrition would look like. It'd be tough. So Auburn finished at number 6 in 2025. Okay. It's pretty strong. Can Auburn finish higher? And I'm going to say yes. And let me tell you why, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think Auburn would have finished higher in 2025. This past class had they won two more games. And really, I mean, honestly, you probably should have won at least three more, but two more games, you're 7-5, and then maybe you go to a bowl game and win a bowl game or have a bowl, have a bowl experience. I think Auburn would have had a better recruiting class. I think there was a couple of guys. It drug Deuce Knight's. I think, honestly, it drug Deuce Knight's announcement out a little bit, which in turn probably delayed or turned off a couple of guys that probably could have come with him, and you had more time to recruit them together. I think about guys like a Caleb Cunningham or maybe like an Andrew Babalola. If you got a quarterback locked in, what does your recruiting class look like then? And then, you know, what did we pay in the suck tax? I keep talking about the suck tax, where losses make everybody get more expensive. What do the price tags look like? And then you're able to spend more for, you know, another player that you couldn't get because of the suck tax. There's so many things that I think if Auburn would have performed a little bit better on the field, it would have helped recruiting. It's really unbelievable that they finished at number 6. I think Auburn's the only team in the top 20 in recruiting rankings that had a losing record. So pretty remarkable. So to go back and answer the question, yes, if Auburn wins 8 or more games, they will have a higher recruiting class than they had last year. They will beat 6. They're already at 5 right now. And there's some big dogs on the board. So that's another thing you got to look at. What's available and what kind of positioning are they in for those guys? And the state of Alabama's loaded. I think I noticed they had 7 players in the top 100. Auburn's in a really good spot with most all of those. Probably going to get 7 or 8 out of the top 10 again. Again, should they have a decent record in the state of Alabama. And then you're looking at guys like, I mean, look at the visit list. You got Zion E. Lee, who's the number one prospect on 3, that's coming in for a visit. You got Emmanuel Iheanacho, who is the number 2 prospect on 3 and the number 2 offensive tackle. You got a bunch of really big dogs that that are coming to visit, and you got a bunch of guys that are like borderline four stars that could get bumps up into a five star. So number one, you're in a good spot now. You've got a really good base to your class. You're at number five. Number two, you're in a really good spot with guys to add, high ranked guys to add to the class. So that helps. And then number three, you finished number six at 5-7 last year. So if you win eight games, just the logic that we take from that would assume that you'd probably finish better in recruiting. So I think that's a no-brainer. Yes, Auburn would definitely finish inside the top six should they win eight-plus games. War Damn Gunning. First time I've seen this poster, so thanks for joining and thanks for the question. If you could only have one and they were guaranteed 3 years minimum on campus, who would you take? Anthony Davis, the linebacker from, I think, Grayson, or CD Morgan from Benjamin Russell. And that's a really tough one because Anthony Davis is obviously at a position of need. He's a high four-star linebacker, but CD Morgan is an NFL receiver. You know, you watch Jeremiah Smith from Ohio State and how he could probably be the number one pick in this year's draft after his freshman season. I think CD has that type of potential just based off of his measurables and how good he actually is. He's elite. True, 6'5", 200 plus pounds. He's got the speed to play outside receiver. Probably play a little bit of a big slot position starting out, and then maybe kind of as he builds up his strength and builds up speed, more speed, maybe shift out to the outside. But gosh, he is a physical freak. That's to me a no-brainer. You take the unicorn. CD Morgan is a unicorn, and that's who you take. I love Anthony Davis, and I think Anthony Davis probably ends up in this class. But I mean, you can find other linebackers. He's not over, like physically gifted. Like he's only 6'1", 200 plus pounds. He's a great player. But when you're talking about pure measurables, now if he was like 6'4", 230 and could run a 4.4 or 4.5, then I would say, okay, now we need to really think about this. But there could be other guys that you could get with those type measurables. You're not going to find many CD Morgans out there. So that's who I take. I definitely take CD Morgan probably 10 times out of 10. D. Moultrie, he's got a couple, and some of these are diabolical scenarios, like or situations. Okay, so here's the first one. Would you trade the 2010 football national championship for a 2019 men's basketball championship, or trade the 2019 Final Four run and this year's team for a 2013 national football championship? So here's my options. Trade in 2010 football, and then we win 2019 basketball, or trade in the Final Four run and this year's current team for a 2013 national championship. That's so tough because, man, that Final Four run just did so much for basketball. The Final Four run did so much for basketball, and I'm trying to look at the impact of both on each. I'm so biased, though, because I was at the 2013 National Championship, and how much cooler would that have been had we actually won, maybe intercepted that last pass, or if Trey Mason would have just, like, taken a knee on the two and then run some more clock off. Instead of scoring again, or you don't give up that kickoff return for a touchdown. If one of those things doesn't happen, I have dreams about that. So I'm biased. As much fun as basketball is, I think that would have been an incredible memory to be there for the national championship in the Rose Bowl. Don't hate me. I love this basketball team. Don't hate me. But I think I take the 2013 national championship. If I had to think hard any longer about it, I'd probably change my mind, but I'm going off sheer emotion and the fact that I was in the stadium, I think it would have been cooler to win. So I'm going to go with that. Don't hate me. John Mark D, in your opinion, could this be the deepest Auburn basketball team we've ever had? And I think his second question was, if not, who is? Admittedly, I didn't follow a lot of the roster stuff when we were bad. So I'm just going to go in Bruce's tenure. This is from a scoring perspective. Everybody that you bring off the bench just about that plays significant minutes, minus maybe like Chris Moore, is a scoring threat. And it's really hard to point to a team. You have to go all the way back to 2019 to find a team that could score, that had the most amount of scoring threats. And I'm going to say this team's deeper than 2019. They're shooting better from three at this point in the season than that team did in 2019. I think I saw that Auburn shooting like 41 or 42% as a team. I think 2019 was at 40. That was an elite shooting team. So that's really good. I'm going to go this team because of the amount of volume scorers that you could have at any given night. Miles Kelly coming off coming off the bench. You got Denver Jones, Tahad Pettiford. I mean, all these Chad Baker Mazar, all these dudes could score 20 points at any point in time. And then obviously Janai Broome, and he's healthy. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with this team. Yes, I think this team's a little bit deeper than the 2019 team. Let's see. D. Moultrie again. More unbelievable, harder/bigger accomplishment at Auburn. Okay, what's the biggest, bigger accomplishment at Auburn? Q, or any Auburn football coach assembling the number one overall recruiting class in the country, or Auburn men's basketball winning a natty? To me, that's Auburn basketball winning a natty. When you look at the – Auburn's gotten close. I mean, I feel like you've been two or three players away from becoming the number one overall recruiting class. I think Auburn, there was a pathway if you win 8 or 9 games this year that you would have had that. There was a pathway to that. We talked about it multiple times on the show. So that wouldn't be, to me, as surprising as Auburn actually finishing off. It's so hard to win the NCAA tournament, but actually finishing off and winning it, I would go with the basketball for sure. I think that would be the most impressive accomplishment by far than just the number one recruiting class. War Eagle, Wyoming. If Auburn can continue to maul teams without Janai, does Bruce give Janai an extra game or two of rest or rehab? I've thought about this. It seems like to me they've really got Tennessee penciled as possibly a return. He's walking in a boot without crutches, without aid. I mean, he's standing up essentially the whole game on Tuesday. So clearly I think there's a chance he could probably be back for Tennessee, but you just embarrassed Mississippi State by 20 plus points. If you go into Athens and jack them around and beat them by 20 plus points, just like you said, maul them, I feel like it does at least bring that to mind, like, hey, do we risk it? It is a risk no matter what, just because of the nature of the injury and that how easy it is to re-roll it. Or how tender it could be, and do you want it to get inflamed again if you push it too far? I think that's definitely got to weigh in. If Auburn goes up to Athens and loses, yeah, it may put a little bit of an expedite the process a little bit. But if Auburn goes up there and wins by 20, I think you really have a decision to make. Tennessee's not that impressive to me. I've seen them play a few games. They're not that impressive offensively to me. I think Auburn can score with them, and then they're always going to be tough on defense, but Auburn can score pretty much on anybody. So that's a tough one. That's a tough one. And I think if Auburn blows out at Georgia, you definitely have a decision to make. And you got a week. You got a week to make it. So you got a lot of time that you can, like, test him and see where he's at. I don't know that you just 100% shut it off. If he can play him. I mean, you're trying to win the player of the year. It's going to be tough to beat Cooper Flagg, but trying to win player of the year and trying to go for that number one seed, any game that you can have that Janai's in, you feel like it is a good chance you're going to win. That'd be a tough one. I've been thinking about that. That's a really good question. If it were me, I'd probably look at sitting him at least another week. Rehab, maybe play very low minutes, if at all. But if you go up there and win by 20 points, like, what's the point? What's the point of playing him? Like, you're going to beat Tennessee. If you go to Athens and drum Georgia by 20, you're going to beat Tennessee. You're probably going to be a 10-point plus favorite. So why, without Janai? So why risk it? Because you definitely need him late in the season. So really good question. Really good question. D. Moultrie, is Janai Broome Bruce's best coaching job, coached up player? If not, then who is? It's a toss up to me between him and Jared Harper, because Jared Harper to me is the best point guard we've ever had. Not ever, but definitely for Bruce's tenure. And to watch him go from like a 140-pound player to a guy that's dunking and taking souls against Xavier and Maui, his development was insane, to where I think he was arguably the best point guard in the SEC in 2019. He was unreal. So that's a tough one, because Janai, his game, you watch each year, it's like the progression of his game got bigger and bigger and bigger, and he's added new things and new moves and new stuff like that, and found new ways to get him the ball. One thing that was always a weakness for Bruce was being able to feature a big guy other than just like pick and roll and alley-oops and putbacks and stuff like that. Like, really figuring out ways to isolate them, get the ball inside, and get them one-on-one and let them just do their thing. And that's gotten better. So as that's gotten better, Broome's gotten better. His post moves are just incredible. He's got a move for almost every scenario. He's just really good. So that's a really tough one. If I had to pick, though, Broome's always had the tools. Jared's never had the tools. He's always been a small guy. So I'm going to go with Jared Harper. I think Jared Harper is the best coaching job that Bruce has had. Jared Harper, and then Anthony McLemore was pretty good too, because he was limited and he became a pretty good undersized big man. But I think I'd go, if I had to pick between those two, I'd go Jared Harper. And last question, Cole Park, another new one. Cole Park 11, are there any updates on what we can expect with Nike uniforms this year? So the contract starts in July. It's a 10-year contract, and I would not expect merch. I wouldn't expect anything until then. Now, I think it will be really cool. And to me, I think there could be a loophole, because spring ball is not a spring sport. Spring football is not a spring sport. It's like it's a practice for the fall. Okay. So I think there could be a loophole there where maybe you could see some Nike uniforms for spring football. I have no intel on that whatsoever, but I think that would be really exciting for everybody if you could see that. And I think there could probably be a loophole there where Auburn could say this is essentially a winter practice, a fall practice, and it is. It's the team that you're preparing for to play in the fall. So could they come out in the Nike uniforms for A-Day? That would be electric. Now, probably not going to happen. You're probably going to wear those same dadgum 75th anniversary SEC garbage Under Armour uniforms that you've worn for the past forever. It's the same uniform they wear every single year. That's probably what it'll be. But I'm hoping. I got my fingers crossed. Even though, like, it's not like there's going to be a huge difference in the way the uniform looks. Like all it literally is going to be is just a Nike swoosh. That's it on the pants and on the shirt or on the jersey. So, but I want to see it. Maybe they could get some Nike shoes. Maybe they could have some Nike cleats for the game, for the A-Day game. Then you get to see, you know, the different looks, because you know Nike's got a lot of different types of obviously shoes, and Auburn will never slip again, never have ankle injuries. Now that they've gone to Nike, it's going to be way better. No, but I wouldn't expect anything. I wouldn't like bank on anything until after July, but still got my fingers crossed for A-Day. That could be a lot of fun. So, guys, another great barn takeover, great questions, diabolical scenarios. I'd love to get your thoughts on those scenarios. Which ones would you pick? Let me know in the comments. I think that would be a lot of fun to discuss. And I answer like every comment, by the way. So if you get in the comments, you're probably going to get a response from me. So, guys, I really appreciate it. Another great barn takeover. You know, we're going to be back every single day. If you want to get in the action, subscribe to thebarnauburn.com. $25 off for your 2020, $25 off for 2025, the annual membership for only $75. Jump in and have some fun, get in the conversation. It's another episode of the Dadgum Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.